For those that who may be with us for the first time, I am Pastor Brian. This month we are exploring the book of Jonah in the Bible, right between Obadiah and Micah, in case you're looking for it in your Bibles at home. And as I said last week, if you don't know where Obadiah and Micah are, that is okay. That's why God created the table of contents. So, many of you know that the story of Jonah is about a man and a big fish, but there is so much more in this really short four-chapter book of the Bible, like the prayer of Jonah that we're going to look at today. What would you pray? Just an interesting question to think about. What would you pray if you were in the belly of a fish for 3 days? Get me out of here, please. Don't you figure that might be your prayer? Or maybe if you were in the belly of a fish for 3 days, you would just like shout at the fish, All right, I'm sorry. Too much Finding Nemo and Dory in my past. So for those of you who weren't with us last week, or for those who were still snoozing maybe during the first part of last week's message, a quick recap so we understand the context of Jonah's prayer. Right, Jonah is told by God to go to Nineveh, and he's told to tell them to turn from their wicked ways. Jonah thinks, like, this is not a good idea. This is a bad idea, not something he wants to be any part of. And so he goes the other direction on a boat. God sends a storm. And the sailors wake Jonah up on the boat, and they ask him what he knows about the storm and why it's happening. And they suggest that Jonah should pray to his God. But Jonah doesn't do that. Jonah says, "My God, the one who created the whole universe, is doing this because I'm running away." But he doesn't pray at this point. Instead, he tells the sailors just to throw him overboard, because if that happens, then all will be well. And the sailors, right, they try to desperately save everybody. They try to row to shore. They throw all their belongings off. But finally, they're convinced that tossing Jonah over is the only way. And so they toss Jonah overboard. And when the story says that Jonah hit the water, it then says that God sent a big fish to swallow him. End of story. Or, as I said last week, end of chapter one. Anyway, this story isn't over. As I said last week, there are three sequels to this story. And the first sequel that we're going to look at today, it's dark and smelly story. Well, dark and smelly, if you can imagine what it's like to be in the middle of a fish. Can you imagine 3 days in the belly of a fish? Like, yuck. So let's dive in today and fish around for what we can learn from Jonah. See what I did there? and yes, really sad dad puns were intended. I'm sorry to my kids, and actually, I'm sorry to your kids too. Let's pray. Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts this day and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you've heard this story. A pastor of a church was really upset because right down the street, a bar and casino was opening up. "We can't have this mark of sin in our midst," the pastor said one Sunday morning. "We are going to pray them right out of business." And so the pastor organized the church, and over the next couple of days, they had 24-hour prayer vigils where they prayed to God to shut down this business. And sure enough, a few days later, the casino and bar was struck by lightning, and the whole thing burned to the ground. The insurance wasn't going to cover the cost to rebuild, so the bar and casino closed, and the church, it celebrated. Well, for a day or so at least. Because then the pastor learned that the church was being named in a lawsuit by the owner of the casino and bar. And they were holding the church financially responsible for what had happened to the bar and casino. The court case began, and the lawyers, they called the bar owner to the stand. "It's the pastor and the church's fault," the bar owner said under oath. "They prayed and they prayed, and because of their prayers, God struck our business down with lightning." The pastor was sworn in to testify next. "Is what the bar owner said true?" the lawyers asked him. Oh, no, the pastor said. "I mean, it's not our fault that God did this." The judge, he looked from the bar owner to the pastor as he was preparing to announce his decision, and he said out loud to the courtroom, "What do I do with this? I have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer, and I have a pastor who doesn't." So what do you believe about the power of prayer? Do you believe there is power in praying? Jonah chapter 2, it starts this way. It says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." Jonah, right, he'd already had quite the adventure, and now God has his attention from inside the fish, and Jonah prays. And his prayer is really something to behold. This is how the prayer begins. He said, Jonah said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." In his distress, what did Jonah do? He called on the Lord. And what did God do? Right, God answered. God listened. There's a research study, it says, from Pew Research, it says 48% of Americans pray every day, which seems great until you think about the flip side of that and realize that that means 52% of people don't pray every day. But do you ever think about prayer? Like, even for those of us who pray regularly. Not just think about prayer, but do you ever think about what happens when you pray? "I called on the Lord and he answered me." Think about Jonah's words. You have the ability at any given moment to call on the Lord of the universe. Think about that, right? You have the ability at any moment in your life to call on the one who created you and created all that is, the one who put the stars in the sky and who slung the galaxies across time and space, the one who made anteaters and aardvarks. You have the ability to call on the one who is all-powerful and almighty. You can call on God, and here is the really, really good news. God will answer. Let's pause here for just a moment. Right, Jonah's experience teaches us that it doesn't matter if you've been running away from God. If you are in distress, if you are in trouble, if you are feeling disconnected, if you're feeling alone, if you realize that running from God isn't helping your life, you can call on God and God will answer. Have you ever heard someone say, "All we can do now is pray"? Things are falling apart or a loved one is dying, and it's sometimes kind of a natural thing to say. You know, all we have left is prayer. But I think in those moments we have it wrong. At least we have that statement, the very tone of it is wrong. Because I think too often we treat prayer as this sort of last resort. But prayer should be a starting place. Right? It's not all we have left, it's prayer. It's we have prayer. We always have prayer. We always have a way to connect with God. This is repeated again and again in Scripture. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. James 4, verse 8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Prayer isn't a last resort. Prayer is a starting place. Prayer is a gift that is always there for you. We have this amazing gift of prayer and a promise that when we pray, we'll come to know that God is near. We'll come to know that God answers. Now, I know what you may be saying, but I have prayed for a Porsche 911 Carrera convertible red with a black top for years, and God has not delivered. Okay, maybe that's what I would say. Right, so let's look at some more of Jonah's prayer. He goes on, he says, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Do you notice what happens as Jonah continues to pray? Jonah begins to see what God is doing. Right, Jonah begins to recognize that God is active and at work. I don't know about you, but I've prayed in my life, and I'm going to guess most of us at some point in our life, we have prayed for God to show us our purpose. I've prayed for God to show me my purpose in life. Or maybe you've done this. I think maybe we've all done this. We've prayed for God to give us something or do something for us and just hoped that God would deliver it right away. God, I'd like you to do this. Or God, I want you to show me this right now. And then, right in those moments when God doesn't give you the answer that you want right away, it's so easy, right, to begin to doubt and question. Maybe God's not there, or maybe my faith just isn't strong enough. And I like you, I've prayed those prayers. And what I realize now, looking back, is that very seldom in my life of prayer has God answered me with a burning bush kind of moment. Right? Where everything was super clear to me, or immediately I got what I wanted. In fact, as I read Jonah's prayer, as I reflect on my own prayer life, I realize now that such a hope that God is going to do what I want God to do right away, or God's going to give me the answer that I want to hear right away, even that hope is kind of selfish, right? It's all about me. So instead, I realize now that every time that I have prayed, something else happens. I begin to realize and open my eyes to what God is doing in my life. I begin to see the stages that God is leading me through in life and how each stage of life, I love this part of prayer. Prayer opens me up to sort of look at my life and realize that at times when I thought that life felt empty and things weren't happening, God was at work in ways preparing me for life and my purpose today, my purpose now. In Jonah's story, He doesn't pray and find abracadabra, now everything is purpose. He's in the belly of a whale, and in fact, when his prayer is over, he's still going to be in the belly of the fish. Instead, Jonah prays while in the belly of this fish. He finally prays. Right? He had other opportunities. Now he's finally praying. And in his prayer, he begins to see what God is doing. You see, prayer doesn't change God or even the present circumstance. Prayer changes the one who is praying. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer doesn't always even change the present circumstance. Prayer changes the one praying. Craig Greshel, the pastor at Life Church, says a version of this. He says, watch as God works. He's talking about this idea of prayer. Watch as God works. God may have you on a 10-phased healing process, because if you don't go through the first 9, you're not going to learn the things that God wants you to learn. God, through phases, leads us, teaches us, redirects us, guides us, heals us, corrects us, convicts us, until he leads us to his ultimate will. Don't forget to embrace the phase and celebrate the works of God as he leads you to his ultimate destiny. I love this sense that God, through prayer, introduces us to see the phases as he's at work in our lives, as God is at work in our lives. Greshel, he then goes on and he challenges us to find the "but God" moments in our lives. The "but God" moments, those moments when in prayer we realize, oh, but God is at work in my life. Notice the turning point in Jonah's prayer. Until this moment in verse 6 that we're going to look at, everything in Jonah's life is down, down, down. Jonah goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the boat to sleep. He goes down into the sea after he's thrown over, down into the pit, even as he prays. But then as Jonah prays, his vision turns, right? As he prays in verse 6, he says, "But you, Lord, my God," but he sees God at work, and he's like, "Oh, you, my God, brought me up out of the pit." Prayer is the turning point, the "but God" moment in Jonah's life. Right, he encounters the power of God to pull his life and his view of life from running in despair to purpose and hope. From here forward in Jonah's prayer, we see this change within him. Suddenly there's hope, there's a sense of purpose, there's a sense of a future. From here, things look up. I think that's an invitation for us, right? You're invited to claim the "but God" moments of your life. Everything seemed hopeless when she died, but God was at work. Our marriage was in trouble, and we thought it was over, but God had the power to do something. I didn't think I could even do it, but God. Jonah was in the pit of despair. The pit of despair. And it's fascinating to me. There was no promise. There was no promise that Jonah was going to survive this. And yet, in God, in those moments of distress in his life, Jonah wasn't without hope. Why? Because Jonah could now see the "but God" moment and that God was at work. He could see that he wasn't alone. Prayer helped Jonah to remember. His prayer goes on. "My life was ebbing away. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And then we read verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Today you're invited to claim the power of prayer in your life, to claim the gift of prayer, to claim this tool that will allow you to see that God is at work in your life and in the world around you. I do pray, many of us will say. But do we really pray like power, like do we really pray as though prayer has the power to transform us and the world around us? Or are we more likely just to call on God in a time of need, hoping that God will answer in some magic way, but mostly we say to God, you know, hang out somewhere over here until I need you, and then I'll pray and see if I can get you back at the center of my life. Our question today, are you ready? Are you really ready to let the power of prayer transform your life, to show you what God is doing and get involved in what God is doing in your life? Jonah, remember, was in the belly of the fish when he prayed. There was nothing he could do. But there was much that God could do. Jonah was thrown up onto dry land. And frankly, the life ahead of Jonah, the path ahead of Jonah, wasn't going to get any easier. He would continue to be in constant danger. He was not going to be in control of what was ahead. But there was still much that God was going to do through Jonah's life. You may feel today like there isn't anything that you can do with where you are in life. And that's okay. But know that there is much that God can do in your life. And you may feel like the road ahead is fraught with challenges or impossibilities. And that's okay. Because that means that through prayer, you'll have to rely on God. And there is much that God can do in and through your life. If you are bold enough to pray, if you're bold enough to pray today and every day this week, God will begin to show up for you. Because here's the thing, God is already there and God is already at work. And if you pray, you are going to be able to see God's power show up in your life. When you call on the Lord, your God, God will answer. Amen. And amen.